For most people, we spend our whole life trying not to be lonely. Many of the world value themselves on how many friends they have or who their friends are. These different relationships we create have similarities to one another, but none are quite like the one we're supposed to have with God. Friendships we have for a time, some stronger and longer than others, but in most cases, cannot stand the test of time. Even those that do, we start to consider them less as friends and more like brothers and sisters. However, even with true blood relatives, the familial bond has its limits. In some human relationships, it is necessary for the relationship to change, such as in Genesis 2, verse 24, and then later repeated in Ephesians 5, verse 31. It is said that a man should leave his father and mother to cleave unto his wife, so the relationship might become husband and wife rather than children and parents. While our relationship with God is often compared to him being a father with his children, we, his children, should never leave him for any reason. As we are shown in Matthew 22, verses 23 through 32, and I'll read that soon if you'll turn there now, Jesus explains that even after marriage and leaving their parents, they eventually leave each other in death and then cleave unto God. So I'll read Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, starting in verse 23. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren. And the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And the last of all, the woman died also. Therefore in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry, nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. One of the worst phrases for a child to hear from their parent is, you're dead to me. This disregards their entire existence, creating a division, separating the two. In the world, this can come from the cruelty of the parent. But with God, he only leaves the child if he's forced to. For he is not the God of the dead, but the living. We compare this relationship we have with God with the relationships we have with each other in the world. But it has differences that words are unable to describe, with feelings that we're unequipped, that we are not equipped to understand. The love that he has for us is only broken by us. He would never cut off that connection if he didn't have to. Seek and ye shall find, because he never stops looking for the lost. His love is everlasting, nonstop, infinite. These terms we can't comprehend on this earth, but we will know eventually, one way or another. John 3:16, probably the most famous Bible passage. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But I also want to bring in verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. God is not looking to punish the dead, but to bring them back to life in the light. He would rather all come and be with him. But as Jesus says in verses 18 and 19 of John 3, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. The light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. The light has been lit in the world and is available to all, but few will come to it. God simply cannot be in the presence of sin, and even could not be with his Son once Jesus took on the sin of the world on the cross, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Jesus knew what would happen going on to that cross. In the garden where he prayed, "Let this cup pass from me," I believe the main reason he prayed so earnestly that his sweat was as blood was because he knew of the separation that would have to happen. That separation is the same that we would have to endure had Jesus not died for our sins. Through Christ alone do we have the opportunity to be saved and not suffer eternal death. It is only up to us to seize that opportunity. If you would like to take that opportunity and be saved tonight, to fight the good fight, to stay the course, we have made ready to help you start that narrow way. Or if you have fallen off that path, please allow the brethren here to help edify you and keep you on that path. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. And while a few may find it, the few will not walk alone, walking with each other through Christ to be with our Lord in heaven. If you would like to respond to the invitation, please come forward as we stand and sing.
We're part of the family that's been